Renee, I flicked it, but it's working now. I'll ask you to stand in reverence for God's holy word. If it's difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart and receive the love of God as we read. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Do not be afraid, Abram. Your blessing shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? Said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No, said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldees to give this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these and cut them in two and laid each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness descended upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and shall be slaves there, and they shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with a great possession. As for yourself, you shall go down to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Did you notice our call to worship this morning? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a very familiar phrase. It's the first sentence in the Bible. Let's say it together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, God spoke into the void and said, let there be light. Exactly. Let there be light. Let the waters divide so that there was the water of the earth and the water over the earth. And then he brought forth earth out of the water, and then he brought forth plants and living things. And God said, let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. If you want the scientific explanation, see, we say God said, let there be. The scientific explanation is God said, bang. And then it was. Because think about it. Out of the void of nothingness, of absolute nothingness, God spoke, and everything that is was created. An entire universe. We can't wrap our minds around that. We really can't. I mean, you stop and think about it. Think how infinitesimally small we are. Think how small the earth is in all the vastness of space. And yet, God spoke and created it all out of nothing. And then God came to a man named Abram, a man who was childless, and told him that he was going to be a nation of people, that out of him was going to come an entire nation of people, and you know, this is the land that they will dwell in. And Abram said, "Excuse me, Lord, no children. Really difficult to become a nation if you have no children." But God spoke. God inspires. Say that with me. God inspires. God inspires. God breathes life where there is no life. God puts something where there's nothing. God initiates our inspiration. You know, we talk about being inspired. You know, we'll see a beautiful painting and it inspires us. It brings us to awe. We see something, you know, we see a child being born. That is an amazing thing. Absolutely amazing. You look and you watch this child being born and your breath is taken away. It's so awe-inspiring. Breathing life to where there was no life. Putting something where there's nothing. God inspires us. He inspired Abraham, and the reaction to inspiration is belief. Faith. Trust. It's saying, "I believe what you say, Lord." It's been happening that way for generations and generations and generations. He took one man and his wife, told them to leave the country they were in, Ur of the Chaldees, and sent them off and said, "I'll tell you when you get there." How many of us are going to go and follow when somebody says, "I'll tell you when you get there, just go"? But he did. And when he got there, God said, "All this I'm going to give to your descendants." To a man that had no descendants. You got to stop and ask, you know, how hard would that be for you to believe? It probably would be. But Abraham looked at the stars and believed. And you and I are part of the fulfillment of that promise. We are part of his descendants, grafted on to his family through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grafted on to the family of Israel through our belief in Jesus, and his descendants are still happening everywhere. He believed. God inspires. He sets the spark that gets everything going. But he doesn't just then step back. God commits. He commits to be part of the process. God sustains. Say that with me. God sustains. He doesn't just inspire us and then leave us on our own devices. He commits to being with us through thick and thin. You notice that it was very, very clear. Abram's vision was very clear. He didn't say, "You know, Abram, you're going to have a child, and from then on it's smooth sailing." Anybody who's ever had a child knows that, right? It's not all smooth sailing after that. Because children are unfortunately little people. And people have their issues, right? And when you have a whole bunch of people, you got a whole bunch of issues. And the greater and greater and greater the number of descendants grew, the bigger the issues. Not just from their own disobedience, but the stuff that can happen to you just because we live in a fallen world. He told them specifically, he said, your people, your descendants, are going to be slaves for 400 years. Why did it take them by surprise? I mean, how can it take you by surprise when you're told from the beginning it's not going to be easy? This is what's going to happen, but it's not going to be easy. But I'm going to be there with you, God says, through the good and the bad. Through the good and the bad. We ended up with 12 tribes. Hundreds of thousands of people. Now into the millions of people. But it's not going to all be roses. It's not going to all be easy. It's going to have hard times, but I'll be there too. So while God commits, Israel has to persist. You know, after God inspires us, He commits that He's going to sustain us, but we have to persist or we won't get there. You'll never reach the promise if you give up. Right? I mean, that's just physics 101. If you stop moving, you ain't going to get there. You can't ever stop. Because you never actually stop, you start sliding backwards because it's kind of an uphill thing. So if you stop, you slide. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep moving. When this church came together 150 something years ago, how many years, Brenda? 127 years. 127 years this church has been here. Through good times and bad. This church has been here through wars and peace. This church has been here through the Great Depression and the economic setbacks. And through the times of prosperity and joy. This church has persisted. Why? Why have we persisted? Work with me here. Why have we persisted? People. The people have persisted, why? Because God has been with us throughout the entire thing. And He has helped us and sustained us. And He has never let us down. Can anybody here say a time God's let us down? No, I didn't think so. Because God doesn't let us down. I think we've probably let Him down a few times. But He has never let us down. And when we step out on faith, it always works. Because see, God inspires and then He sustains as long as you keep moving. As long as you don't let fear hold you back. See, sometimes you've got to wonder, if you know there's a price to pay for that thing that you want, for that inspiration that you have, for that dream that's out there, if you know you're going to have to pay a price, sometimes we don't want it bad enough. Am I right? I mean, sometimes we just don't want it bad enough. But if you get that crystal clear vision of what's coming, nothing can stop you. I've always felt that that's the reason that the human race still exists, because even though I never had children, I have seen childbirth, and it doesn't look like fun on a woman's part. It does not look like fun. And all of the pain, not just with the birth, but, you know, the backache for the 9 months and all that other stuff. All those things that happen, why do people do it? Because the baby is worth it. It's worth it. course, now sometimes you debate that. I know. Ruth Ann's sitting up here going, well, I'm not sure. But
too late.
Yeah, too late now, Ruth Ann. It's worth it. You go through all of that. You make a decision to have that child because that's what you want. You have this vision of what that's going to be. And they tell me that the moment that child is in your arms for the first time, a lot of that, you know, a lot of memory of that goes away. It was worth it at that point. See, we have trials in this life. We're not going to get away without that. Anybody that tells you that being a Christian is an easy life has never read the book. You just never read it. Life's not easy, but it is worth it. It is worth it because what we see, the final vision, is worth it. It's worth it because we persist and then God perfects. At a certain point, God perfects and the vision becomes reality. Reality. I know I use this illustration quite a bit, but it is, you know, so concrete for us. This church needed more space in order to do the work God was calling us to do. And for years and years and years, I understand, you know, before I got here, you all debated and debated up and down about building this addition. We're going to do that? Yes. We're going to do that? No. We're going to do that? Yeah. We're going to do that? No. And when I got here, y'all were still doing that. You had some plans drawn up, and we were still going, well, I don't know if we want to do this or not. It's just a matter of if God called it, it's going to be. If God called you to do it, if He gave you the vision, He's going to sustain you, and He's going to make it into reality. And the reality is here now. And we've been able to do so many more ministries and do so many more things because we have the space to do it in. It is God's will. He inspired it. He's sustaining us being able to pay for it. It's going to be paid for at least 13 years before we thought it was going to be paid for. Wow. Minimum. And the vision fulfilled. The question is, what is God inspiring you to do now? What do you think? I don't know that that was God. She said inspired us to fix the steeple. I'm going to put that one up to Mother Nature because the steeple's about to fall. But He did give us the visions of putting it back the way that it was because, you know, in the natural, we truly could not afford to put it back the way it is now. But He made a way, didn't He? And you put the word out and say, you know, if you want it to go back the way it is, you're going to have to make a way. And He did. I mean, let me ask you this. What do you think the chances are that somebody with a crane is going to come, you know, that they can rent for thousands of dollars an hour, that they're going to come by and say here, yeah, well, we'll just do this for free. What do you think the chances are? That's God at work. That's God at work. That is God blessing us because He has the vision and then He sustains it. And He'll bring it to perfection. In a couple of months, please God, in just a couple of months, that whole front of the church is going to be fixed. And every time a storm comes through, we're not going to have to worry that the steeple's going to fall off. although I was parking my car under it with hope. It is a wonderful thing. But the thing is, are we open? Because God is always inspiring us. He's always calling us to do things that aren't there. He's always breathing life and light into darkness. He's always saying something where there's nothing. He's always calling us to do more great, wonderful things. Are we listening? Do we hear Him? And when we hear Him, do we believe? I know it's really hard. Trust me, I do. I have the same thing. I know it's really hard when God calls us to do something that just looks like, whoa, you got to be kidding, God. And I tell you, from here on out, listen to me very carefully. Are you listening? There is a 50-cent fine for every person who says, we're just a little church. The next person says, it's going to be a 50-cent fine every time I hear it. It has to go on the offering plate. 50 cents every time you say, we're just a little church. Because we're not a little church. We're the church of Jesus Christ, and it don't get no bigger than that. It's big. It's big. We are a church that can do anything. If God told us, you know, to build an arena somewhere, we could do it. We can do anything that God inspires. Are you praying for His inspiration? Are you asking to hear? See, I think God has got some big stuff for us to do. And we have a team of people. I called in May for a team of people to come together to dream big dreams by the inspiration of God. Everybody on the dream team, please stand up. And Benita is not able to be here today, but Benita Barker is on that team too. I want you to pray for these people that you have seen stand. Y'all can sit back down. I want you to pray for us as a team because we're seeking God. We want to know what He's got coming. We're looking for inspiration. We're looking for things that we've never done before, never thought of. We're going to be calling things into existence that have never been before. And we can do it because God is going to sustain it and perfect it and make our vision a reality. He does that in our individual lives. He does it in our life as a church. And folks, if we just get out there and do it, the Church of Jesus Christ can change the world. Let's change the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the ways that God sustains us in times of trial and in the good times is by